Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're here on the final day of the week on Friday, and I'm not too sure how people would feel today after last night's game with U of A and ASU. I would assume that maybe 50% may be thinking, hey, they did really well, but they lost. The other 50% would say, we lost, and we suck. Because that's the kind of reaction I've gotten from last night's game after my story came out late last night. I was up there. I thought it was a fantastic game to watch.
Me too.
A lot of fouls called, herky-jerky, but it was fun to watch because, in part, I thought Arizona was going to get crushed big time.
Yep.
And they didn't. My story was a bit positive. I don't usually go positive in a loss. In fact, the last question or two could have been one of the last questions. I asked Sean Miller if he took any solace in the fact that the team played hard. Right away, he shot me down and said they didn't. And he was very direct. He wanted no part of that question. And he said, we played no defense. We did this. We did that. And then I asked some other people just to get a gauge, and maybe I missed something. And no, they said I was right, except that the coach is not going to say that. He wants them to continue to play hard.
Right.
And I compared it to the week before. Remember USC and UCLA, where they got crushed and they played uninspired. I think last night they played inspired.
I would agree.
So that's how I wrote the story. They were outmanned. You know, Chase Jeter, Miller said, played at about 40-50%. He looked halfway decent out there. It was tough to get shots underneath. And then about 4 o'clock, I heard that that Mr. Brandon Williams was not going to play. His knee had been sprained earlier, and he was out. So then you're thinking, without Jeter, possibly, and without Brandon Williams, this team was going to get crushed. And we had talked about this yesterday.
Yep.
Before the game, the spread was 5.5. After the news broke that Williams was going to be out, it moved to 6.5. It only moved a point. And you're still thinking, Arizona's going to get crushed. So as the game went on, what were you thinking as the game went on, Bob?
We were cheering. It was invigorating. It's been weeks since we were loud and cheering as a family during the game. I was blown away that ASU just kept making their buckets. I mean, some of their shots were just amazing. The one thing that kept bothering me, and remind me if it's the same guy or not, they would just totally leave it open, the U of A, and ASU would go in and dunk it or lay it up. Was that the same guy each time doing that?
Cheatham, they had a couple of different guys.
I thought he's amazing.
Yeah, Arizona has very little near the basket, obviously. Jeter is what he is. He's 6'10", 6'11", injured back, thin, not a bulky guy. Yeah. This team ASU has is kind of like the kryptonite to Arizona because it's so athletic and can run and do a lot of different things on the court. And U of A is not a quality team. It's just not. We've said this before. That's why last night I was pretty impressed with how they played.
Yep.
Because they hung tough. Early, ASU kind of going out to that lead. Arizona would hang around. And I said, wow, this is kind of strange to me. I know it's a rivalry game, and I know it's a big game, and it was packed. Guess what the percentage of fans were? Remember I told you?
70-30 was your guess? What was it?
It was like 90-10.
It was raucous. I kept thinking of you as it started. They were so loud, and I kept, me and my wife were like, take the fans out of it. Make two baskets. They caught up, and it was like cricket.
It was. Let me tell you, I've been to about 29 straight of these games, and I can remember some back in 95 when ASU beat U of A, Mario Bennett and those guys beat Damian Stoudemire and Arizona's guys. And it was crazy. The fans were crazy. It's rarely like that because Arizona is usually the dominant attendees. But Arizona fans knew this was not going to be pretty. They knew it wasn't going to be pretty, so a few of them showed up, and it was scattering. They were all scattered all over the place.
Quietly wearing gold hats or whatever.
In disguise.
You were asking me what I thought as we were watching the game. Did you get the feeling a couple of times as say if it was tied up and then ASU'd start to pull away 3 points, 5 points, did you just cringe going, ah, this is it, and they're going to take off and go up to 20? I got to admit, I did that a couple times.
That's a good question. No, because I just watch, and a couple times I was sitting next to a friend of mine and another radio guy, you could kind of sense it would, but not really, because Arizona played hard and they did what they could, but they're limited. They were an issue. Come on. They hit shots, but they had crazy shots. Sometimes crazy shots go in and there's a destiny to a game, if you will, and they were destined to win this. Arizona hung on. I couldn't believe that they hung on. And when they took the 7-point lead late, I was thinking, if they pull this thing off, this would be amazing to me. And you know how, you don't remember yesterday or whatever. And I'm thinking, if they pull this game off, this could be one of the biggest wins in Arizona U of A history in the last 30 some years.
Absolutely.
Only because they had no chance. I gave them no chance.
Absolutely.
And, ASU came back and we made a big run, and then they took it in overtime. And won the game, obviously.
Talk about, reversal of roles. Here ASU is always, running out on the court and making all kinds of noise and everything because they beat us. And here this time, if it had been down here, and we would have pulled it off. But from your advantage of where you were sitting, were you able to see when Hurley got popped by the ball?
No.
Did you hear about it?
Yeah, no. Well, it happened. And I saw him get off the floor because as we're sitting, you to me, that's the court, you're the court, I'm over here, and he's way over here.
Uh-huh.
So I saw him get up. I saw him get up, and I'm looking at the monitor, and the monitor didn't replay the thing. But a guy next to me was playing the ESPN feed.
Yeah.
So I saw it like 10 times. How many times haven't I seen it now?
Well, what was interesting is that he instantly
got up,
yelled at the ref.
He
jumped up and yelled at the ref.
Right.
And Walton kind of let it go. But he's like, what's he doing yelling at him? He didn't throw the ball.
Right. In fact, one of my friends, who's another colleague, tweeted the funniest thing he thought about the whole incident was, he bounced right up and started yelling at the ref.
That's like kicking your dog when you trip or something. Right. I just thought that was what a reaction. He used to really bother me watching him play. But knowing that Miller likes him so much, I watched a little differently last night and really trying to enjoy his true passion for his players in the game, as opposed to how I feel about that stupid veil of ridiculousness that they do. Sometimes it's funny, but last night, I don't know. I was nice because at least this time ESPN wasn't showing it every single time, which they did. I remember the last game I saw.
Yeah, well,
whatever it's called.
It's near us. It's on our side of the court. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's old. It's worn. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't really work.
Right.
So, it's kind of cute. It was cute at the time.
Yeah.
But, the cute little baby grows up and it's no longer a cute little baby anymore. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So today's going to be a busy day. We're talking about basketball. We'll do that often throughout the segments. But tomorrow or Sunday's the big game, the Super Bowl.
I heard.
So I'm going to try to make this a Super Bowl show. In about a couple minutes after the next segment, we're going to go to Glenn Parker, who's in Atlanta. He played in a few Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills, a U of A grad, a friend of mine. My son and his daughter are very good friends, went to school together.
I have an odd question.
Go ahead.
Is there any way we could get Ice Shaker on Monday or Tuesday, do you think?
Maybe. I'll see.
Just to see where he was for the game and what it was from his.
Sure.
Gosh, that would be
amazing. I'll reach out. If not Monday, Tuesday.
That'd be awesome.
Because he might be traveling back.
I would just love to hear from
Insider kind of thing. Yeah, no, that's fine. Let's go to, we'll go to Grant Parker for a segment or two, and then finish out the hour. Come back. We're going to talk to John Perlman of the Soccer FC Tucson, and then talk to another NFL player in the other hour. So let's go to break and come back with Glenn Parker.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Ohio weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, the John C. Scott Political Forum.
The John C. Scott Show, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
When you see a bicyclist, remember, cyclists are friends, neighbors, and family members. From the Tucson Police Department, here is Chief Chris Magnus with a life-saving message for all motorists.
Every year in and around Tucson, bicyclists are hit, injured, or killed. Arizona law requires that you must give at least 3 feet of clearance when you pass a cyclist. Safety is everyone's responsibility. A moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. Give cyclists at least 3 feet when passing. It's the law. Brought to you by Look, Save a Life.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. On the line now, we have Glenn Parker, formerly of the Buffalo Bills. Glenn, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Great, great to have you. You're in Atlanta. How cold is it, and how you doing out there?
Well, it's actually beautiful here. It's in the 50s and sunny, and I'm actually just sitting in here in a sport coat. So it's fantastic, and it's a good crowd. I'm here for a NFL player networking event where we kind of get together and discuss things. We've got irons in the fire, things we're doing, things like that, and opportunities for us. So it's a lot of fun out here right now.
So you must do this yearly. How many Super Bowls have you been to, including the ones you played in?
I played in 5 Super Bowls, and then I covered another maybe 5 or 6 for whether it be the NFL Network or Fox Sports Arizona or whatever. And then I attended just 1 or 2 that something interesting piqued my interest in one. And this one really, I'm working with a gentleman who is world famous. And I'll just put it this way. He's giving me an opportunity to learn from him freely, and he wanted me to come down and support him down here, and I did, and it's been a great event.
Super, super. So did you just get there yesterday?
I got here this morning about 10, and I'm going to be driving to the airport when I hang up the phone from you, Steve.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. So how important is what you do now? I know, let me kind of backtrack. You're working with the U of A, correct? And could you tell me your role?
Well, my role was assistant director of principal gifts in the foundation. So my job is to engage with our alumni and in a meaningful way. So it's meaningful to them, things they want. And hopefully through relationships and a passion or affinity for the university, those relationships come back to us tenfold in whatever way that might be, whether that be money or a person's time. And that's how we can grow the university in a meaningful way.
No, no question. I have Cedric Steptoe in the other hour. So are you working with him as well?
Well, yeah, we're in the same building, different jobs within kind of the same corporation, so to speak.
Yes, yes, yes. Let me ask you, since you have been out of football, but you also still do some analyst work, do you miss the competition? I know, you know, you and I are a little older now, but do you miss it?
Absolutely. I miss it every day. When I got done with football, I started jiu-jitsu, and I did that up
really?
Until I had my knee replaced. And I still keep telling myself I'm going back to it, but I just haven't gotten back to it because To tell you the truth, I'm a little afraid of getting my knee hurt. So, but yeah, I miss the competition every day. I have to find other ways to fill it, and that's the hardest part.
I bet it is. Once you're a competitor, you don't lose that will to win or whatever that will is. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, that thrill, that adrenaline rush of competition and victory is, it also is what is one of the problems for so many ex-athletes. They constantly strive for that again and making themselves in trouble.
Right, right. Well, I would assume that your broadcasting career, you had a radio show here locally for a number of years and trying to do well at that or doing well at what you're doing now, that kind of drives that competitiveness?
Yeah, a bit. I just, I did radio, and of course I did television for so long, and still do some television work. It's not, you don't have a team atmosphere, and since you don't win and you don't lose, it's hard to feel, at least for me, it was hard for me to feel fulfilled doing that. And so changing jobs to the foundation, helping there, I'm also, I was an analyst for the football team in the 2017 season, helping young men, trying to coach at the high school. I did that last season. That is where I really get the most joy, fulfillment, and that adrenaline rush of competition.
Yeah, no question. I was going to say, you and I have been friends for a long time. Our kids know each other very well, going to Catalina Foothills. You, I covered you in the late 80s, so I've known you for a long time, you and Mr. Fina there. I'm curious, and I'm almost lost my train of thought here, of you're mentoring the kids. That must be some kind of thing that maybe will continue to happen down the road as a coach or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it will. And I know it's interesting. When I left the game of football, I was contacted. They wanted me to coach for them, and I said, no way. Football came very easy to me. I started when I was 20. I played 7 games and had my scholarship kind of wherever I wanted to go. I was offered a lot of scholarships. I played 21 at Arizona, and I was in the NFL. Mm-hmm. 12 years later, I still had no patience for people that could not pick up the game fast, whether that be the mental side or physical side. It drove me crazy. Well, I didn't want to coach. And so for 13 years, maybe 12 years, I didn't. But raising my children taught me patience and taught me that everybody learns a little differently. Not everybody learns like I do. And maybe they just hadn't been coached the right way or taught the right way, so that it never got to them. And if I could do that, it might work. And so I started doing some camps and clinics, and that grew into more and more opportunities, and I can still continue to do a lot. And I like when the light goes on for that. That's my competition. I'm not only winning, but seeing if I can get a young man to get it and be more than a football player. Yes, get it on the football field, but get it off the football field. Understand what life's about. That's huge.
You've been in Tucson for a long time, obviously, 30 years with your lovely wife and family. If some school, X school somewhere else, called and said, we want you, would you go?
I think it would be tough because my son and my daughter are both juniors going into their senior years, and I really want to be a part of that. So I would probably choose not to unless there was enough money thrown at me that I was willing to do it. Not a can or a can't, it's a will or a won't.
Right. Okay. Hey, let's talk more. We have for just one segment. I know you're busy and you got to go. But tell me, how was life in the NFL for you?
How was it for me?
How was it for you?
You know what? It was a dream come true. It was something I dreamed about as a kid and then didn't chase. And when I finally chased, I got it. I would have said the first couple of years I just was okay, but once I got married and once my wife was a part of my life and then we had our first child, I became a way better football player, a way better locker room guy. I became a guy that I credit that for giving me a better football career because it's so much more important. But that football career pays back in a million different ways, and this event today is one of them. I'm walking around with guys I played with, guys I watched growing up that I idolized, guys that talked to me and like, oh, I was a Bills fan those years. It's so fulfilling that way.
And you played in 5. Tell me, the Friday before the Saturday, what kind of energy, what kind of nervousness or whatever did you go through, and what are they going through now?
Well, the energy here is so high. So what happens is at the start of the week, it's just football guys. It's ex players, it's GMs, it's scouts, and the football teams. That's it. And by midweek, every cheese ball that wants something comes in. That means every stripper, every hooker, every pimp, every guy seeking autographs that he's going to sell, every guy that's got something to get over on somebody is there, and you can't walk through the lobby, and that's when it starts getting to you like, okay, this is a freak show. And you have to center yourself and not let it become that, and go and keep your routine as close to what you've done all year. And, you know, it didn't work for me five times. I played well in all five games, but it didn't work for me. So your nerves are shut. Yeah, it's Friday. And, you know, tomorrow it'll really get home because they're going to be walking around just like they do on a normal day before a game, and it's going to become really real for a lot of these guys.
And was it, while you were going through it those five times, was it kind of like surreal? This is probably the best moments of my life?
Yeah. You know, the first time you go through, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And all the vets are like, God, you're so lucky you're here for your rookie year. And, you know, we've been playing for years and never got there. Well, in my second year and my third year and my fourth year. And finally, you know, it's about my sixth year. We don't make the playoffs. And it's the first time I've never made the playoffs. Never played the postseason.
Yeah.
It was, that, you know, really tough. But right. Then I go to the Chiefs. And what it did is it gave me an incredible understanding of what it takes to build a championship team. And I could see the pitfalls coming, and I could talk to guys and try to fix them if they would listen. And, you know, it's funny. Second to last year with the Giants at camp, they said, you know, how could this team be, blah, 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 you've got all these old guys. I said, we can go to the Super Bowl. There's no reason we can't. And they laughed a little bit. I said, listen, if you don't believe that, you'll never get there.
Right.
That's why we play this game. Well, sure enough, we go to the Super Bowl. They can't believe it. It's like, I could see we had the talent. I just knew we had to figure out a way to get it. And Coach Fawcett did a great job that year, as did Sean Payton, our coordinator, and John Fox, our D coordinator, of putting personalities together and working that group into the Super Bowl.
Right, right. We're talking to Glenn Parker, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, New York Giants. You played in five Super Bowls. Let me bring up a bad subject. How was it losing those five?
Well, you know, in the moment, it's awful. If you choose to reflect on it, you can go to the negative.
Yeah.
I choose to think about how great each season was and all the great teammates I had, the great experience of the wins and the highs. That's powerful. That's what I choose to remember. You know, it's never good not getting what you want in the moment. But in life, it's really good for you a lot of times.
Right, right. No, that's why I think you'd be a great coach, great inspirational type of speaker. Would life have been different had you won one?
Boy, I think if we'd have won the first one, I don't know that we ever get back to another in Buffalo.
Really?
We just had a team that was really hungry, but prior to that season, we'd been known as the Bickering Bills. And that really, I don't know that that really ever left us. In fact, we knew we had to get rid of it in order to win. And I think if we'd have won, it could have easily gone the other way.
Right, right. All the psychology of the sport again.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So are you not staying for the game? Are you coming back home now?
I'm coming back home now. I've got work to do, and I've got some things I've got to take care of. And I don't like watching the game in the stands, and I don't like watching it at a park.
Wow.
I like out with a friend or two that really know the game, and we watch it kind of like I would watch a game film.
Right, right. Well, that's good and bad, I guess, in parts. So who do you like?
Well, you have to go with the Patriots. You know, they've got what they do well and what they have always done in the playoffs, and it seems to me less and less teams do this, is they start about four games to go in the season, they start running the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the ball a lot. They throw underneath a lot. But that being said, Tom Brady's offensive line gives him more time than just about any quarterback in the league. He has 4 seconds many, many times. If you look at like Football Focus or some of the things, he has a ton of time to throw. So because they're running the ball well, they're thinking down under when he really drops back. He's got time. He can find somebody. A lot of things come open for him. So if the Rams are going to win this thing, they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to score first and get up by a margin and then not go into a shell, not change who they are. Keep their defense attacking and keep their offense attacking down the field. They do that, it could be a blowout, but I'm not certain that that's got a great probability.
Right, right. So you're not probably surprised that New England is good and has been good for years under their, you know, the Belichicks and the Bradys, and it doesn't surprise you.
No, not they have a culture there where it's about winning championships, mm-hmm. where it's not about look at me, I'm a star. It's about winning championships. It's about what can you do for the team. And if you start thinking more about yourself than the team and more about your numbers, then they get rid of you. And it's one thing I really credit Bill Belichick for this is when he first started doing this, he brought in a lot of free agents, as you'll remember. There was always an old free agents he brought in. Well, as a ex-pro at that time, and they're going on for years, I said, he's not going to get any more because he treats them like crap. You know, he brings them in and uses them and gets rid of them. And sure enough, that started to happen. So what did he do? He started drafting guys that would fit in and do what they were asked in the limited roles they had. And he switched his point and the way he did things at some point and continued to win. That's incredible.
Right. It's a nice secret of success to have. Look at the results.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the event happens, right?
Right.
And you respond to it, and what's the outcome? And he seems to be doing a great job.
Right, right. Glenn, I'll let you hop on that plane, get back to Tucson where it's sunny and about 70. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very much, and safe travels.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for having me on, and you have a great one, and break a leg.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn's one of the good guys. I covered him for a long time back in the day. Let's go to break, Bob, and come back and talk more about the Super Bowl on the other side.
It's a new year, and you deserve a new career. Radio sales is the answer. We currently have account executive positions open here at The Voice. If you're motivated to get ahead and a self-starter, your future is in radio sales. We offer a guarantee against commission and benefits. Send your resume to careers@bustosmedia.com or call us for a confidential appointment at 790-2440. 790-2440.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill. A breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
The 230 District, Fly Tucson First, American Diabetes Association, Heart Foundation, and Southern Arizona Junior Achievement. Plus Home Care, the Justice Department, Convicting the Innocent, a financial coach, health coach, and mental coach. They're everywhere. The future of marijuana legalization, the estrogen hour for women, and the new Fuchsia Spa. The homeless, news from the chamber, specialty segments for business, law, and cooking. It's a morning affair, current affairs, local news and interviews. It's your community. Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. till noon.
Mark Bishop.
Do you feel hopeless? Withdrawn from life, work, or your family? Do you feel as if you're being a burden to everyone around you or that there's no reason to live? If these are your thoughts, we want you to know that there's help. Understanding the warning signs of suicide and resources available to you could save your life. Suicide is preventable, and SAVE can help. To learn more about suicide prevention, visit SAVE.org.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera.
Trusted
you are? Local news and talk. I am. I forget who I am sometimes.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
As long as you don't start saying, you know, I'm Muhammad Ali or something, I will not call the authorities.
Right, right. Well, I was so flustered talking to Glenn that, you know, I forgot who I was. Glenn's a good guy. Back in the day, he was this big dude, tattoos. One of my stories was Rebel Without a Cause. And he was he's a very bright guy. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, and you were very brave asking him. So what was it?
What was like losing
five games? Don't beat me up.
He's a friend of mine, so I could go there.
There you go.
He's a very bright guy. He's a big wine guy, wine connoisseur, and kind of one of those experts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's about 6 foot six. I don't want to slide him, but 6 foot six. He's lost a lot of weight, you know, in shape, doing a lot of things. And now back at U of A, working, like you said, for the Alumni Association, I guess, in gifts or whatever.
And I'm sorry, what position?
Offensive lineman.
Oh, that's offensive why lineman. He lost a lot of weight. Okay.
Big guy, yeah. So, doing well, very bright. You see him a lot on TV doing a lot of the NFL work in Phoenix. They ask him to do a lot of the analysis. Very good guy. Enjoy him. Enjoy talking to him.
Big alum guy.
Big alum guy, yeah. Which, you know, what he's doing now, and I'm going to have Cedric Steptoe on the other hour at about 2:30 talking about the same thing. Cedric is a part of the Alumni Association outreach, trying to get former players to come buy into their school, help financially, things like that.
Interesting name for like a tight end or something. That'd be...
He's a running back. I think so. I could be wrong. Huh. People are listening. Correct me if they like. But anyway, anybody who wants to call in and talk about the Super Bowl, please do. 790-2040. We could talk about last night's game in Tempe. If you went, talk about it, how you thought about the crowd or whatever you thought about the crowd, and maybe your hopes from that game. Last night, it's funny because I wrote this story that I felt comfortable writing in a sense that in my question to Sean was, you know, were you pleased in how you played? And he's, you know, shot me down. No, he wasn't. He played bad. and later, another reporter, I won't say who, said to me, they didn't play hard. And I'm thinking, didn't you watch him last week?
A reporter from here?
A reporter from here, yeah. I won't say who. It doesn't really matter. It's not newspaper, not website. I'm not going to go any specific.
I know.
And I said, oh, of course, didn't you watch last week? If you didn't watch last week, this was a total turnaround. My problem with what I wrote last night, if I have a problem with it, is that every game is a season, as I tell you almost every show. So last night's game could have been an aberration. We don't know. We'll know next week. Will this game carry over to next week? That's the whole thing. And that's how they don't become seasons. If you can improve and improve and improve and continue to improve, then they all roll into one season. But that doesn't happen. I mean, it's how you play that day. It's always how you play that day.
Right. And at this point, it kind of seems like there's going to be a great article at the end of the season that this was one of those weird seasons where you kept thinking they were going to come back and then they didn't. I say that only because if this weekend ends up being another get our pants beat off, it's going to be.
Yeah, you mean next weekend? Yeah, when they play Washington?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this weekend. We've got something else we're doing this weekend, I guess.
right. We'll see. Another thing that we need to talk about, the women's basketball team plays up in Tempe. They play ASU. They beat them here last time, which was a big win, kind of a program building type of win, and gave them a lot of inspiration. And I guess they came back. They won that game and they beat Cal, who was also ranked. So, you know, there's a lot of hope at the women's basketball program. Which is great for them because wouldn't it be great to have two good basketball programs at U of A and really call it a basketball city? I know they kind of already do because of the UA men's basketball, but it's been, you know, realistically, it's been since 2001 when you can kind of say, you know, I'm saying them, not me.
We're
that they can say that we're a basketball town.
Well, sure we are.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
We just take some nights off.
I know you take a lot of nights. You haven't been back to the Final Four since 2001. So you know, there's a point of saying, okay, you can call yourself what you want, but you can't give yourselves a nickname. Pancho, you on the line?
Well, yes.
How are you?
Pancho, thanks for calling. I know you called yesterday, and I had to kind of cut you short because we had another caller that we needed to get to. But you talked about last night's game. You didn't think they had a chance at all. What did you think?
Well, when you make 14 out of 28 three-pointers, you know, and you shoot well, you look like a good team. You shoot poorly, you look like a bad team. It's pretty simple. And, you know, it was too much Remy Martin, so to speak. So they've got a hangover now for sure from all the Remy Martin. And ASU wanted to win, and I was surprised. You know, Jeter played, and, you know, when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, what a difference maker. But he went 1 for 5, and he missed a couple of shots that he usually makes. I think he was out of rhythm. He hadn't played in a couple of weeks. But, you know, they fought, and it was a good game. It was a very entertaining game. And I, you know, for a moment, I thought we were going to pull it out with a 7-point lead and about 4.5 minutes to play.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think that's when you see the lack of great guard play at Arizona this time. And in the past, we had great guard play that could run the offense and take care of the ball. I think Coleman took a couple of ill-advised shots, even though I think he ended up with 19 points. But toward the end there, you know, it kind of fell apart, and you have to give a lot of credit to ASU. They really played hard.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. I thought that they were going to get crushed by 20, realistically. And then midway through the game, you know, he was going to the bench, and sitting down on the front of the bench were Dutrieve. You saw the last names of their jerseys because they already had their tops off. Dutrieve, Lee, and Barcelow. And I'm thinking, this is what he has to work with on the bench.
None of them played well.
And you know what do you go to? And what do you go to? And how do you do it? And I'm thinking, he must have had a great game plan to get these guys to play that well.
But weren't both of you a little happier that at least they were shooting, even though they were missing? There's another Bob question for you.
Yeah, Bob, I don't get happy at games. It's called work.
I'm sorry.
Pancho, what do you feel?
At least they were shooting it.
I feel like you're a curmudgeon to begin with, but secondly,
thank you. No, I'm glad somebody said that other than me.
You had to feel good. I mean, you had to feel good. How did you not feel good? You say you're not a fan, but I mean,
I'm not a fan.
To feel good.
I'm not a fan. I'm neutral. I'm a neutral guy. I stopped being a fan a long time ago.
You're a neutral Grinch.
Yeah, I'm a neutral Grinch. But, you know, I was impressed. It did impress me, and that's what shocked me because I thought they were going to get crushed.
Yeah. Well, it certainly gives you more to write about.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be tough to write negative stories all the time. And last night was something. What, by the way, what was the crowd like? Was it 90-10?
Yeah.
I did hear some U of A chants during the game, but that was only when they had the lead.
No, it was 90-10. I talked to Bob about that before. Before, it's like 50-50, 60-40 or whatever, but U of A fans didn't go to this game because they knew what was going to happen. And then I'm sure they were disappointed they didn't go because it was a great game.
It was a great game. I think the biggest, you know, I looked at the box score closely, and ASU only played 8 guys, just as Arizona did. And I added up the minutes off of the bench, and Arizona's bench played about 15 minutes more. Arizona's bench played more than ASU's bench did by about 15 minutes. ASU had 3 of their 5 starters play more than 40 minutes. And one of the things I noticed last night, and very similar to Oregon and USC, and you know, we talked about this one time, if it was a track meet, Arizona would have lost.
Yeah.
And all these games, Bill Walton, and he loves to talk about Chris Rounds and what a great job of conditioning Arizona has done. And I don't want to knock him, and I don't want to knock Arizona's conditioning. But ASU not only looked like the more athletic team, but toward the end of the game, they looked like the more conditioned a team. They played great defense, and they kind of shut Arizona down. And when you play hard defense, your heart rate gets up really high. You're giving maximum effort on defense. And then when you go play offense, you kind of rest a little bit. But they didn't look like they needed the rest on offense. They were getting their feet square to the basket. Their hips were in good athletic position, and they were knocking down shots. That group did not look fatigued in a very competitive game that required a lot of energy. Now, like I said on Facebook, perhaps that was because of all the rest they got during all the fouls that were called that interrupted play. But
it's ridiculous.
The crew got off to a bad start, and one of the principles in officiating is when you know it's going to be a hotly contested game and potentially combustible, you have to try to control the game early and set the tone that we're going to call this thing close. But I think they called it a little too close and didn't influence the outcome of the game. I don't believe that, although there was one call toward the end of the game where Remy Martin totally crashed in to our guy that always takes the charges, Jeter.
Yep.
And I think that the official that was on the baseline there was watching Remy Martin because he was having such a good game. And as the official, you're supposed to watch the defensive player. And that was big because he kicked it out and the guy made a three. And that could have been a charge going the other way. That would have been a big call if he'd have got it right. But it went ASU's way. And but anyhow, my point being ASU looks more athletic and more well-conditioned, and look for them to finish the season strong if indeed that is the case and they have that conditioning advantage.
Right. Well, Pancho, we got to go. We got to cut to a break. We also have another caller, Gloria. We'll get right to you. Pancho, good to talk to you. Thanks for reading my stuff, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Pancho.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to break, I guess. Let's say hello to Gloria. What do you want to do? Let's go to Gloria. Gloria, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on the bus up to ASU to watch the women play tonight.
Cool. What kind of bus is it? Is it like a fan bus?
It's a fan bus for $20. You get taken up there, you get fed, and you get the ticket to get into the stadium.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Have they always had this thing?
I don't know. I just heard about it, and I was the last one to get on the bus. they sold out.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that they had this thing. And you should be prepared for a pretty good game, don't you think?
Well, you know, last Sunday, they were not hitting free throws very well, and their rebounding could have been better. But their free throws just were awful. And I sure hope Coach kept them in a little longer practicing free throws. They needed some help there. They needed some help. I haven't been to an ASU game for a long time because the fans were so rude to us, that I thought I'll never be back. But it's been a long time, so maybe they've gotten better. And this is a women's game, so
It
should be more polite. Great show. I enjoy your show very much.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm curious, though. You're talking about you haven't been back to an ASU game, men's game? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, because of the it gets crazy. I think it gets crazy at every home arena when opponents are there, but I understand that. A lot of my friends who have tickets here don't go north because of how they think they're treated. In the past, though, there's a lot of Arizona fans there, and they're there to enjoy the victory. Last night, obviously, was not that time.
Yeah.
But
you know, there weren't any losers in last night's game. The Wildcats really tried hard, did way better than we expected, and good for them.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of how I wrote it. I'm not a Pollyanna guy, but last night I was pretty impressed because after seeing them last week when it looked horrible, that they did recover and they needed to recover. I was talking to another friend of mine. He was a gut check type of thing. They've lost 4 out of 5, I think it is. They got to find some way to get back on the winning side.
Yep. Here's hoping.
Thank you, Glory. Enjoy the bus ride.
I'll call in Monday and tell you how the fans were.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you for calling in, Glory. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening a lot. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, now, Bob, I'm done for the day.
That's my kind of fan, right? Is that a perfect Tucson fan?
That's a Bob fan. That's a Bob fan. Hey, let's go to break, finish off the first hour.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog and new best friend.
We help more than 1 million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Everyone have an amazing weekend. If you miss anything, go to dsimonehq.com. We'll see you Monday. We have Solidarity Health Share. We will preview the very spicy State of the Union speech by the president and talk more about the Pima County Road Plan. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. Nearly half of Americans smoke, have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, each of which increases your risk for heart disease. Coronary artery disease is a major cause of heart attack. Calcium scoring with cardiac CT can identify plaque buildup in the coronary arteries before symptoms appear. Talk to your doctor about whether cardiac screening is right for you. For more information, visit radiologyinfo.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back here on 1030 The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. I need more Glorias to call in.
Yeah.
Someone already texted me saying they love Gloria.
Yeah. I just, like I said, hope. That was what she said. Here's to hoping.
Here's to hoping. Yeah. And that's how you do when you go to a game. You know, watch, got your game. Enjoy the game. Maybe if you're a team lover, you hope that team wins. And I'm not, let's kind of clarify me. I've been in this business a long time. I won't say how long, but, our job is to be neutral to whatever story there is for or against. Is it better to cover a winning team? No question. It's kind of helped me write my 5 books that I've written. No one wants to read about a loser. I've covered a tough, good program for a long time, thankfully for that. But my job is to kind of be central and not look both ways, although write both ways. So it's not that I'm a curmudgeon, as he said, and I probably am. I do come off that way. It's funny because I don't smile a whole lot. I don't smile a whole lot in public and whatever, but I am kind of, I do smile, obviously. But, you know what I'm saying.
I've seen you smile. Yes. I can attest to that.
I don't care
what she says. I've seen you smile.
I go into it looking at just this is the story and this is how I'm going to write it. So it's not that I'm looking for negative or anything.
And are there, what's the percentage? I know another dumb, weird Bob question of writers who aren't centered that swing one way or the other. Are they popular? Are they successful?
Yes and no, because if you're writing to the local fan base, yes, they like you. They like you because they believe what you're writing.
Okay.
And they trust what you're writing is true, even if it's favorable. I'm trying to be accurate here without kind of say, you know, some of the...
Do you need to have journalistic qualities to be successful as a sports writer as opposed to politics?
Depends what you're writing. Depends what you're writing about. Arizona. If you're Arizona,
yes,
like
yeah.
If you're Bruce Pascoe, no, you're neutral and you go down the middle and you're just there to get the facts and put the story. Greg Hansen, a friend of mine, does it. You know, he puts his opinion on it, good or bad. Depends what his opinion is of it. Last night, I think he thought the same thing in reading his story. Today, I thought he saw the same game I did, mm-hmm. where he was impressed that Arizona hung tough. And it was a big game to ASU. They hadn't won there forever. Six straight times Arizona had beaten them, and he was pretty impressed with it, too. That was the story. That was the thought I got from his column.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the same game. Obviously, Sean Miller didn't see the same game because he's the coach.
Yeah.
And I get that. I totally get that when he shut down my question, and I'm okay with that. And I'm going to say, you know what? Respectfully, I'm going to kind of disagree because they played hard and it was much better. And I said this and I still believe this. They played hard. If last year's team, as talented as it was, played as hard as last night's team did, they would have gotten to the Final Four. Of course, you can't play like that every game, but you could play with it most times, and rarely did that happen.
Did you read Pascoe's?
I did. His stuff is more about the game, you know, more about the game. But he thought so too because I talked to him about it too. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Am I wrong?" And he says, "No. You saw what I saw. This team played more spirited and more enthusiastic than it had in the last week or so."
Be interesting the next you know, full press conference to see, you know, what they're doing to prepare in comparison to before.
Nothing. I mean,
nothing different.
It's all the same. Pretty much all the same. Lute did the same thing. And I think who did we talk to yesterday that we talked? Corey Williams. Every game was the same, prepared the same way, except for the NCAA. Well, and they went into the NCAA tournament the same way. Everything was.
It just seemed. I say that only because of the coach's response to the question. When you think they did, you know, you gave a good effort, and he just goes, no. I'm thinking he's going to, the practice is going to be, you know, you guys got to push a lot harder than you did.
Yep.
Instead of saying, you did good, let's more of the same. That's where I was coming from.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Thinking of kids soccer.
He has what he has. He has eight guys who play now. Well, nine guys if Williams comes back or when he comes back from that knee injury. So we'll see. I mean, it's depleted, and they played without hit. Brandon Williams, their best guy, and they held tough. To me, it was very impressive. Again, every game is a season. They lost the season, so it doesn't matter. I understand Sean Miller's approach. You try to win every game, no matter what. There are no moral victories. I remember a big blow up in the in a game after a game in Memphis with Kevin O'Neill when he was replaced when he replaced Lute for that 1 year. He was PISS'd very bad, very bad. When the question was asked, we're in Arizona. We don't believe in those things. We're here to win. We're here to win, and we're not gonna enjoy those moral victories.
Well,
that's not what we're about.
I love what the coach said at that last conference that we played a couple of times. You know, we want the best version of this team we can be.
Mm-hmm. So let me tell you something.
Very
last
realistic.
Last night was probably the best version, short of them playing defense. And guess what? And sometimes the other team plays offense pretty darn good.
Yes. If we get better than the other team, yeah, just like you said.
You know, sometimes the better team wins. Last night, the better team won, at least on the defensive end, offensive end, where they were able to get to the basket. Arizona, like I said, I don't know if you saw my story at all, but my lead itself, Arizona went in as a bunch of toothpicks in a fork fight, in a fork one, because they had more talent. You know, we talked to people yesterday who thought they had more talent on that side of the bench than Arizona's bench.
And it's nice to see them approaching the best version of this team that they could be. And like I said, I like what the coach said. I think they're getting there.
Yeah. Well, at least for Thursday night they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to go finish the first hour here, come back on the other side, have a few more callers, a few more guests coming in for the Super Bowl talk. Thanks a bunch.